Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And happy Throwback Thursday, Kevin.
It's that time of the week, everyone.
You know, we've missed you. We've had a couple of episodes where you've been in absentia.
It's been a little strange, hasn't it?
You've been like Godot. I've been waiting for you.
Aw. You're right. We had a little emergency, so I couldn't record some of my favorite things. And then, because we were out of town, you were by yourself for the Charlotte Ray extravaganza.
Oh, yes, I was. Yes,
and
I was.
For
bless
also,
her.
Also, Kay Ballard.
Kay Ballard. I went to go visit her in Palm Springs.
I was in absentia. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed you for those.
We missed you.
I know.
We missed you. But I'm thinking, because the audio quality on the Charlotte Ray wasn't so hot, how about we do it again.
Right.
But you play me and I play her.
Oh my God.
And we just do it verbatim.
So I edited that podcast, listeners, and I texted Rob right after because I was like, man, You get an award for that because you were really, your questions were on point. You were going after things, but bless her heart, she was like, I don't remember any of that. Nope, don't remember.
No, she didn't say I don't remember. She said, I don't remember. Yes.
You tried so many different angles. You were like just trying so hard.
Oh, but that's okay. You know what, though?
No, she said fun stuff.
I always say this, even if we don't get a lot out of them, we get something a little bit more than we knew previously about that era.
Well, yes, and it's a piece of history that's preserved forever. I mean,
yes.
That was the whole point. You know,
yes. I mean,
they all may not, some are definitely more entertaining than others, but the fact remains that she lived that life and we've preserved it now.
Yeah, so God bless. That's,
yeah.
No, God
and
bless.
Bless you for being on your car phone.
I got to speak
that.
To...
Because it did feel like it was like 1920s radio hour.
Hold on, let me clarify, because I said car phone. And
yeah, I know, everyone gave you shit for
and
that.
And Robbie Rizal was like, who has a car phone anymore? I was speaking in the car while I was driving, so she was on Bluetooth?
Because it did sound like it was like a piece of tin with like string attached to it.
That's the only way she would do the interview. She sent me two Campbell soup cans and a shoelace.
Oh, God.
She said, make a phone. Tootie could do it, why can't you? In episode 7, that's how Tootie and Joe spoke to each other.
It's funny,
this
though.
Poor woman.
Usually we talk more about theater, but she really did like talking about her television stuff more than
Well,
theater.
She was one of the pioneers of live dramatic television in New York City, which is so rare that we actually get
what
to
What is that, Rob? Because you're saying those words in a sentence, and I'm like, live dramatic television? I have no idea what you're talking about.
So it was not uncommon in the 1950s for television shows to, like, have a... Like, it was a serial show. So, like, for example, there was the Colgate Dramatic Hour, and every week they would present, like, a 90-minute live television play.
Live!
Written specifically for that week. Like, God, I hope I'm getting this right. Like, the subject... No, there's a famous movie called Days of Wine and Roses with Jack Lemmon.
It sounds like a daytime movie.
Yeah, and it was originally a teleplay. So they would go in, they would rehearse for a week, and then every, like, Friday or Saturday night at 8 o'clock, they went on the air live and did a full dramatic play.
Incredible. And but, this was also in the time when there would be more, you know, musicals would have, like, an hour and a half production of it being done. You know, and it was live. Like, that Cinderella, you know, with Julie Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
Live,
that,
you know.
Kay Ballard was also
yes.
in. But they would do this every single week. And if you want to see some good ones, there's a great DVD set from Criterion called The Golden Age of Television, and it's got a whole bunch on there.
Oh.
But this is where so many great actors got their start. Like, you'll see ones with a young Dustin Hoffman, you'll see ones with like a young Charlotte Ray, a young Jack Lemmon, and a lot of New York stage actors who, like, we talked about, like, with Car 54.
Right.
We only saw them, we know them from musicals, but we don't really get to see what their acting performance is like beyond the cast recording, and that's a perfect place for
it. So in
the
50s, that was when this really was happening, and Charlotte was at the forefront of it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and now think about it, like, today when they're like, oh, my God, we're doing, you know, a live movie musical or a live TV musical.
And it's like, live, that's unheard of.
Months and months of prep. These people were doing a new one every week. every week.
It's crazy.
So anyway, so she's a part of that, which I think is a really important part of our legacy and of our history.
I think that's just fascinating.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for that little tidbit.
Oh, you're welcome.
The more you know.
Speaking of the more you know, can I give you some something I found out that I'm kind of surprised about?
Okay.
And it has nothing at all to do with theater, but I'm thinking ahead here. So in China now, I think I might have told you this, on tombstones, they're now putting QR codes. So when you go to a grave site, you literally hold your phone up to the QR code on
the
tombstone.
That's that little splotchy black and white little thing that you get on the internet that you which I don't even know how you scan it, but you can scan it somehow.
Well, you hold your phone up
and
it pops and it goes. So anyway, it's going to take you to a website where it tells you all about the person that's underground, about the person who's died.
That's like the future of cemeteries.
But I was thinking, do you want that on your tombstone, a QR code?
Sure, why not? I want a song to play.
What would
the minute you click it, it'll be like.
So what song from Goldilocks will be
exactly
popping up?
Like? I never know when to say when. Yeah.
Well, that's horrible for a dead person.
Well, it's the irony has got to be there.
Oh, you like a good irony.
Oh thing. Yeah, you got to poke fun at it.
Mine'll be Penny in My Pocket.
But you singing it like you do in the shower.
Yes, which you've not heard, but it's kind of impressive.
But I'm sure it's amazing. Still, you actually performed most of the song for me before.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On subways, in elevators.
Yep.
Did it in front of David Hyde Pierce. Security asked me to leave, but it was kind of fun. He was a good sport about it.
Yeah, I bet he was.
He was good. So, Kevin.
It's that time.
It's that time for our favorite things.
All right,
so what do you got? I'm going to have you go first.
Okay. Now, mine's going to sound like it's a plug, but it really, this did come first, and then the plug just comes second, because there's something that's going on where you work at 54 Below that has to do with this, completely unrelated, except that it's just the same title of the same show that I wish to honor. Yeah, but I've always been a fan of this musical. It did not, I think, get the fair chance that I think that it should have,
A
lot of it'll probably be revived someday, and people will say, "Oh my gosh, this is a really good show." Mm-hmm. It's one of those shows that's based on a classic. So, we've had Pride and Prejudice been around. We've had Sense and Sensibility go around. You know, after Les Mis proved that you could make a pretty, good musical, this musical is definitely in the same vein as the pop operatic tradition, which may have been the downfall of this because that it was coming at the, I think the timeline of that pop opera movement, you might say, this was near the end of it. 2000 is when this came out. You know what it is?
I know exactly what it is.
What is it?
This is Jane Eyre.
Jane Eyre.
Oh, my God.
Jane Eyre, the musical, based on the book, with music and lyrics by Paul Gordon, who more recently did Daddy Long Legs that was playing off Broadway. I feel like my students love to sing those songs. And then book by John Caird of Les Miserables fame. It was first done in Toronto at the Royal Alexander Theatre in 1996. That gives you an idea of when the process of writing this musical took place. It definitely, the score is sweeping. I would not say that it's a Les Mis, even though I could see how very easily it gets grouped in with those musicals, Miss Saigon, Les Mis, Femme Opera. It has an epic feeling to it, but it's really a pretty simple story. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to go into what Jane Eyre is all about because most of you probably already know that. But it was, unfortunately...
Sorry.
It's funny. Why are you laughing?
I'll tell you at the end.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with this Jane Eyre. Sorry.
It's horrible. Okay.
I'll tell you later.
You're cracking me up. But it opened at the Brooks Atkinson Theater on Broadway in November 9th. And it closed, 6-8 months later. It was a very... It did not have the long run that I think that they were hoping.
What year again?
2000.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, and I think yes, it was a busy year, but there was also I think it just couldn't find the right audience. But people who went into it loved it. There was a lot of a major technical achievements that they did for this show. They had to basically tear down the middle of the theater and give it better supports because there was this modular lighting device equipment, this big stack in the middle that was suspended that weighed so much that they had to reinforce the stage, and that this technology was so advanced that they from my friends that were in it, because I knew a lot of people when I did a little night music that had been in Jane Eyre, and they were telling me that they really didn't get to tech or do Act Two. It's like they spent all their time on Act One, and then they ran out of time, and they just didn't have the time to really go into the development of Act Two and get all the technical qualities there. But it was a major stage invention to have this modular thing that moved and rotated and could give the lighting and all. Because you have to imagine, you know, technology is the last 20 years has been. We listen to the Ken Billington interview and listen to him talk about how even lighting devices in the last 20 years have completely changed, and the way that designers design has changed. So I think they were doing new things even then. One of the kind of fascinating things that I think, and I remember this when this happened, but so they were nominated for a bunch of Tony Awards. Marla Schaffel was for Best Actress, Best Score, Best Lighting Design, Best Musical. And so they were going to close before the Tony, so like let's say they had their closing notice like May 20th, and but the Tony Awards weren't till the end of beginning of June.
Yeah.
So they needed someone to help keep them open, and Alanis Morissette, the pop singer, famously bought $150,000 worth of tickets, donated them to charities so they could stay open through the Tony Awards. True story. She was such a fan of the show.
I did not know that.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, a little fun fact. So they stayed on. They closed the day of the Tonys. So
wow.
They were staying open also just so they could get to that, because they could have that those 2 weeks to just enjoy, you know, the limited success that it found. The score is sweeping. It's a beautiful score. Some favorite songs, Sweet Liberty, Forgiveness, that my friend Jane Patterson sings, Brave Enough for Love. It is a, I just think that it's worth a listen. I think that if you are a fan of Les Miserables or Miss Saigon or Phantom, you will hear similarities, but Paul Gornin definitely has his own voice. And he is, I think, a very valid theater writer. And I'm going to check out more of his works. But I know that this will get done again someday, and it gets done from time to time. But it's all there. James Barber was in it. It was a good piece.
Do you know when it's going to be at 54 Below?
Yes, February 28th, that our good friend Robbie Rozelle is directing.
Oh, that's amazing.
And Elena Shadow will be playing the Jane Eyre part.
She's great.
So if you're not doing anything, and believe me, they were not connected. It just happens that I know Robbie. But I love Jane Eyre, the score, and I think I would highly suggest going to 54 Below and checking it out, seeing some of these songs sung.
That's very exciting, because who knows when we're going to see this again.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And to hear it really done by, and you gotta have great singers and great performers, because it is a hard piece to sing, but I think the music is lush and sweeping and really worth a listen. So if you have a chance, go out and listen to Jane Eyre.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I have it on my iTunes.
Yeah,
but I haven't listened to it yet. I'm having a massive problem with my iTunes, by the way. If anyone can help me out,
what's wrong with it?
Well. This is kind of embarrassing, but here we go.
Uh-oh.
So I have a bunch of music on there, surprise, surprise, and it's all cast recordings. Something happened when I was transferring my music to my new computer.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what this is?
Oh, I know exactly. Like, all the files are all messed up, and they're not grouped together the way they should be grouped.
Well, no, they're grouped together, except that anytime it says Overture, the only Overture that plays, for some reason, is the Showboat Overture. I'm really not joking. Like any time, like I went to go listen to the Overture of Gypsy,
the classic,
and I was ready.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden I heard bomb, 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 bomb. It's like the opening of Showboat. So every overture on all of my albums
that's weird.
Is now the Showboat
it's like,
overture.
Someone listening knows exactly what's wrong, but there's something with the way you're grouping the files and like your in the iTunes like folder. Yeah,
but like if it says finale. It's like the appropriate finale for each show.
So strange.
But every overture now is just the Showboat Overture, which was really confusing because like I was listening to Jesus Christ Superstar and it came out.
You didn't
bomb, bomb.
No,
I don't get any of that. And I'm a big Overture fan.
That's a great Overture. The Jesus Christ Superstar Overture.
I guess I'll never know. I guess I'll never know at this point. Oh my gosh. So anyway, if anyone knows how to fix that.
I'm sorry.
Somebody let me know, because as
let
much
Rob
as I love
hear his overtures, he wants to hear his overtures again.
As much as I love Showboat,
no.
I kind of want to hear some other overtures.
You gotta hear some Goldilocks.
I hear nothing, pal. I got nothing. So if anybody knows how to fix that,
it's a sad song.
Send
help Rob out. So what's your favorite thing for the die?
Ooh.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So mine is a musical.
Okay.
Much like you. It's okay. A musical. Yeah. It only ran for 61 performances at the Palace Theater.
Mm.
It's not La Cage aux Folles with Van Johnson. Throwback to previous episode. 61 performances at the Palace Theater. It opened in a very competitive season because there were a lot of big musicals that 60s? Year.
60s?
Not 60s. It's a very competitive season, and all the other musicals were very big, and this one was very tiny.
And it played the Palace?
And it played the Palace. This show, I
do
think
patent leather shoes really reflect up?
No.
I don't know why
we
that
will never talk
that
about that.
Never would have played the Palace.
On this show. As soon as we have to start talking about that show on our didn't, favorite
no,
things.
No, didn't we talk about that with someone like...
Somebody was in it. I think we interviewed... Oh, Larry Hawkman was involved in
it. Yeah, that was it. Good job.
Thank you.
Sometimes it's all a blur now. Like
it
we used
is.
We used to know so much, and now I feel like I'm like, yeah, I heard something about that one time.
What is this?
All right. What year? What season?
The 78-79 season.
Ooh.
So the other musicals that opened this year, all right, were Bessel Whorehouse in Texas,
yep.
Sweeney Todd.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing our song, which is only, you know, eight people, but still pretty big considering
right.
Neil Simon and Marvin Hamlisch. So this is just this
Carmelina?
Little,
no,
but oh, that show. We discussed that on this show.
I actually love Carmelina. I enjoy the cast recording that they made years later because then they brought back a couple people.
I can't remember George if
Brown
we've talked about it.
No, I don't think we have.
That should be.
Was it a favorite thing?
I feel like we have.
I feel
at
like
some
it could have been one of my favorite things.
We'll go back and look if our listeners know.
Oh God!
So it's not okay. Carmelina. It's by a very reputable composer and lyricist.
Is this like a Charles Strauss musical?
Not Charles Strauss. He's a big name.
Maltby and Shire?
No. He was a big name. He had a string of hits in the 60s, and then the 70s weren't so kind to him.
A Lerner?
No.
Richard Rodgers?
No. very optimistic.
Jerry Herman?
Yes, it's a Jerry
Grand
Herman
Tour.
Show. It's the Grand Tour.
Bam!
Look at you.
Wow. Ooh, I don't know much about the Grand Tour.
Oh, good. Neither do I. Because... that iTunes also erased the Grand Tour.
Geez.
And now it's just, it's old voice lessons.
Pause.
Oh, hold, my pizza's here. So yes, it is the Grand Tour.
All right.
Jerry Herman. We took a little bit of a break because the pizza arrived, so.
Can't blame us.
Just so you're aware. So the Grand Tour actually might have suffered because Joel Grey was its lead. That's what Jerry Herman says.
Really?
Yes. So the Grand Tour is based on a play. And the story of the Grand Tour is a man who has this incurable optimism about him. You know the song, I'll Be Here Tomorrow, the Jerry Herman song?
Sure.
Have you never heard it?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. No. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. So he is a man who is stuck in Paris. He's trying to get out of Paris before the Nazis arrive.
Oh, gosh.
And he hooks up with a colonel. Now, here's the cool thing.
Like hooks up with a colonel?
No. Oh. There's a colonel.
Oh, okay.
Joel Grey buys a car to get out of Paris, but can't drive the car. There's a colonel at the hotel he's staying at, played by Ron Holgate, who knows how to drive but doesn't have a car. So guess what?
Hey.
They road trip.
Hey-o.
They also pick up the colonel's girlfriend, Marianne, played
adorable.
By Florence Lacey.
Wasn't there a song called Marianne?
Yes, it's a beautiful song. And they escape and try to flee before the Nazis invade. And as they're on the car ride, Joel Grey starts to fall in love with the colonel's girlfriend. So it's Trouble in Paradise.
Yeah, so it's like Sound of Music meets...
Music meets...
like some sort of like rom-com.
Yeah, it's like...
you know what I mean?
Like Sound of Music meets Bridesmaids. That's exactly how...
Yeah, Mac and Mabel. Yeah, yeah, I got it.
That's exactly how Jerry Herman pitched it to everybody. Yeah. I don't want to tell you any more than this because I'll give you a little history, but I want you to discover the show on your own.
I don't want to give you any more. I'm just going to tell you that much.
And yeah, like, and then... but I'll tell you more. So in the original play, the Colonel... and the Joel Grey character were equal. They were equal. And then with Joel Grey playing it, it's a star. So it sort of threw it's not really a triangle anymore. Mm. It's now totally out of whack. They've revised the show a couple of times, once with Jason Graw, our former guest.
At the York?
Once was at the York and once was in Los Angeles. So they worked on it there together. And the show got really wonderful reviews once it was... subdued.
Uh-huh.
Once it was two actors that are of equal status with one another. So once again, the show is really, really pretty. The show is really, really beautiful. If you've not had the chance to take a listen to it, it's one of Jerry. It's not his best score, but there's no reason why it shouldn't be up there with something like Lacage.
Well, everyone loves Mac and Mabel, and this came right after that, and also you love Lacage, and yet he was at the peak of his game. I mean, like he knew how to write a song.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's one of his lesser known shows. It's called The Grand Tour. It's available on iTunes. It's available on Apple Music. And I think if you want to do it illegally, which you shouldn't do, it's available on YouTube as well. If anyone out there has actually seen or saw the original, let us know if this is absolutely correct, if whether or not Joel Grey really threw it off balance or there was something that wasn't working with the show. Jerry Herman has said, and Jason Graz also said, that when it plays as a jukebox, not jukebox, as it plays in like a jewel box theater, in a small little theater, it's very, very moving.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hoping that maybe it'll come back, maybe in encores at some point, and make it intimate, and let's see what happens with it. But I think, especially in today's climate, this idea of I'll be here tomorrow, this idea of optimism in the face of adversity is something we all need. I find that every time I turn on the news, I have to shut it off and then immediately turn on like a Jerry Herman album.
Yes.
I really do, because it can get so negative, but I found, maybe it's just the mood that I'm in, but I found the score to be very, very moving. And a little bit of a panacea for what everyone is going through at this current moment.
I love
moment.
A good panacea.
Me too, not to be confused with a pancreas. those are two big SAT words right there for you. Okay, so once again, mine is Jerry Herman's The Grand Tour.
Mine is Jane Eyre.
We're going to eat this pizza and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.